The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, and all will be thrown down." They asked Jesus, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom upon kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
About a block and a half from my house, on the same street, there's a couple that I have come to admire. They're an elderly couple. I'd say in their late 70s, possibly early 80s. I've never talked to them, but I've observed their actions. I don't see them all winter. Maybe they go to Arizona, maybe they're bundled up in their basement by the fireplace. I don't know. But as soon as Easter passes and the snow begins to melt, I see them outside. Every morning when I come to work, I see her outside. About 8:30 in the morning, the dew is on the grass, there's still a little nip in the air, and she's outside in her house coat. And she has a butter knife in her hand. And she is chasing down every dandelion or blade of crabgrass. She is on her knees, literally going through every blade of grass to take those that don't make the cut. Every second day I see her husband outside, and I think he's working on his second hip replacement. And he's pushing the lawnmower. But not just cutting the lawn. He is doing it in a checkerboard fashion. So beautiful lines that crisscross and contrast with one another are visible from the street. The sprinklers run for 12 hours a day. They fertilize. The roses are bloomed. There's not a leaf or speck on their lawn. I'm a little jealous. I mean, sure, I take care of my yard, run the mower over it once a week, pull some weeds, water some flowers and trees, but I'm not part of the butter knife fraternity, I'll tell you that. But then something happens. Something happens that makes me feel real good about myself. It snows. Ev Gardner. When it comes to yard care, winter is the great equalizer. I don't care how many weeds you have, how many leaves are on your lawn, how many dead patches of grass because the dog's too lazy to go to the... It doesn't matter. When the snow falls, all of our yards look the same. White. The great equalizer. No matter what we've done all year, for those 6 months of summer, no matter how much crabgrass we've pulled, no matter how many dandelions we've plucked, No matter how much fertilizer we put down, no matter how many leaves we break, everyone's yard looks the same. White. in our lives. I've come to realize that death is also a great equalizer. I don't care how long you've went to school. I don't care about how much money you've made, how many times you've been married, how many children you've had. But like winter, death comes to us all. And it comes to us the same. No matter how good our bank accounts look, no matter how good our homes look, no matter how full our garages are, no matter how many vacations we take, it is all covered up by death. It comes to all of us. This is what Christ is saying to us in today's gospel reading. He is with his followers, the apostles and others, and they are looking at the temple in Jerusalem. And they've never seen anything so magnificent in their lives. It is adorned in gold and ivory and bronze. It is huge. It is a marvel of engineering and construction. And they're just in awe. As they stare at this temple, Christ says to them, "This will not last. Every stone will come down upon another. Even the greatest thing that man makes will not survive the passage of time." We as human beings will not survive the passage of time, no matter how much we accumulate, no matter how much we do, no matter what the world thinks of us. None of us will survive the passage of time. So to us, Christ says, prepare. Make ready your life. Today we celebrate the gift of baptism. I probably don't talk about baptism enough. Amber and Chad will gather here at this font. They will hold the blessing that is their daughter, Ginger. And I will start with these words. We'll be smiling, we'll be happy. And I'll say, in baptism, God liberates us from death and sin. And we'll think to ourselves, hold on. What's going on here? Here we have this little baby. Why is the pastor talking about sin and death? This is a time for celebration and joy. This is a time that we look to the future with optimism. This is a time that a family gathers and talks about what will be. And here's the pastor standing in front of the church talking about death and sin in the first sentence. Why? We make the mistake. We often think about sin as a personal flaw. We think the wrong things. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. We recognize sin in terms of who we are. A flaw of ourselves. A perfection that we have not obtained. If we could just love a little more. If we could just say a few more right things. If we could just do a little bit more, we would be better. But sin is much longer than that. Sin is a product of creation. Sin is not just about us, about our shortcomings, about our internal flaws, about the things that we wish we could take back, the decisions we make that haunt us. But sin is also ingrained into creation. We pray for salvation and baptism from sin and death, recognizing that the world is conspiring against us. That just as time passes, we too are growing closer to death. Look at the things that Christ talked about in today's reading. The things that are certain signs of the future to come. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, brother against brother, family tumult, all these things. And you know what? These are a product of creation. Disease, famine, plague, tsunamis, typhoons like hit the Philippines. These aren't caused by human beings. These are a part of creation. And so when we pray that we are protected from these things, we are praying that we are protected from the natural environment. That we want God's care. That we want God's blessing and protection in our daily lives. Not just so we think better thoughts and do better things, but so that we can live our lives as Christians in the world. So that we can have the blessing of God in our daily affairs. So that we can experience a perfection of creation. This is what that final day is about. That day of judgment that Christ talks about today. The day of judgment is a day in which we see creation perfected. It's not just that we're better people, it's that we live in a better world, a world without cancer and typhoons and polio and malaria and poverty and homelessness and those who go to bed hungry at night and children separated from families. It's so that we live in a creation that is perfected. That's what we're asking for. That is the day of judgment. That is a good day. That is a glorious day. That is something that we look our eyes towards heaven and say, come, Lord Jesus. This isn't all about us. This is about the world in which we live. This is about who we are and how we experience creation. This is a freedom of being. This is the good news of the gospel. So what things do we work for? What takes our time? What takes our energy? What causes us anxiety? What leaves us laying awake in our beds at night worrying? If we find ourselves focused on the things that the snow will cover, that death will kill, then we've already put ourselves in bondage to the natural world. If we focus our lives on that which can be taken from us, homes and cars, vacations, bank accounts, if that is the sole being of our existence, if that takes the sum total of our labor and our emotional capacity, then we've already lost, because I'll tell you what, they will be stolen from you. As sure as you will find yourself in a hospital bed, they will be taken. As sure as the stock market collapses, they will be taken. As soon as a tornado comes, they will be taken. As soon as there is a shadow on an MRI, they will be taken. And those things will come to all of us. We know this instinctively. But we live lives that pretend it doesn't really exist. That which we work for and toil for will somehow last forever. But the Bible gives us a very clear picture of the things that are eternal. The things that really should take our labor. The things that should take our energy and our resources and our compassion. Faith, hope, and love. These are the things that consume us. These are the things that the earth cannot feel, that creation cannot take, because these are things of God. This is the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is the good news of the gospel. This cannot be taken from you when you're laying in a hospital bed. This cannot be taken from you when the stock market crashes. This cannot be taken from you when a tornado comes through town. When your house is broken into, when vacation plans fall through, because this is something beyond ourselves. This is what Christ in today's reading says we should focus on. Because we know, I believe we know instinctively that wars will come. I think we know instinctively that disease will come, that persecution will come, that the world cannot stay on this trajectory. That 5% of the people cannot have 95% of the resources. That at some point, like when your computer gets all garbled, when something's hogging too much memory or power or RAM, you have to hit the reboot button. This is the day of judgment. The reboot button is being hit. Things will be sorted out. And what do we find ourselves laboring for? What takes our passion? What takes our thoughts? What occupies our time? Is it things that are eternal? Or is it things that are external? Things we can hold and appreciate, things that we can wash and polish, things that we can show off and make ourselves better than others because we possess them. What things take our time? Do we build up our marriage, or do we build up our marital assets? Do we build up our children, or do we build up our children's possessions? Because I know which ones will live farther and which will have better repercussions for my life and for the future of humanity. Do we sow into love, or do we sow into prosperity? I'd rather sow into love, because I know that will stand the test of time. I know that buildings will crumble, that temples will fall, But faith, hope, and love, I know these things are eternal. I know these things are part of the new created order. I know these things are the things that pull us forward. And so Christ says, when bad things happen to you, think about the radical nature of what Jesus says. He's talking about wars and rumors of wars. He's talking about mountains and earthquakes and floods and typhoons and disease. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, this will give you an opportunity to pout? No. To feel bad about yourself? No. To curse others? No. To get mad at the weatherman or the government for not helping you? No. Jesus says, all these things, when trouble afflicts you, this will give you an opportunity to testify. And you'll be able to testify about the power of God in your life. How you get through cancer. How you get through divorce. How you get through addiction. How you get through the loss of a job. How you get through disappointment. Because if you are with God, if you are setting your heart on eternal things, you will get through these things. And so then what do we see? Curses becoming blessings. Tragedy becoming the opportunity for miracles. Disaster becoming a vehicle for love. This is the radical nature of the gospel. This is what makes the cross a symbol of life. The tomb empty. This is what gives us hope beyond the grave. This is the prayer and the blessing of baptism. That when tragedy strikes us, and it will, that we turn curse into blessing. That we turn doubt into hope. That we turn darkness into light. This is the good news of the gospel. The gospel is telling us what we already know. That bad things happen and bad things will happen. That we won't live in this state forever. But it gives us a way forward. A way to experience that which is eternal. As we welcome Ginger into our lives today, we are saying we want to experience the best things with you. And those are the eternal things. We want to experience love with you. We want to experience hope for a new future with you. We want to experience faith with you. So today we can give thanks. Because in Christ Jesus, we experience this. Amen.